Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 41, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tadidam grahayamasa.
Tadidam grahayamasa.
Sutam atmavatam varam. Sarva vede tihasanam. Saram saram samudhritam. Tadidam grahayamasa. Sutam atmavatam varam. Sarvavetetihasanam.
Saram Saram Samudhritam.
Translation. Sri Vyasadeva delivered it, the Srimad Bhagavatam, to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Men with a poor fund of knowledge only accept the history of the world from the time of Buddha, or since 600 BC. I'll just interject a comment here. This statement is no longer, well, it's still true, but at the time when Srila Prabhupada is being educated, the history of the world, according to Western scholars, or just scholars in their language, for them, scholar means Western scholar. The history of the world began shortly before Christ, a few hundred years before Christ. Nowadays, they put it back. They've acknowledged that there were signs of civilized life which they've been able to detect prior to that. So, continuing. And prior to this period, all histories mentioned in the scriptures are calculated by them to be only imaginary stories. That is not a fact. All the stories mentioned in the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc., are actual histories, not only of this planet, but also of millions of other planets within the universe. Sometimes the history of planets beyond this world appears to such men to be unbelievable, but they do not know that different planets are not equal in all respects, and that therefore some of the historical facts derived from other planets do not correspond with the experience of this planet. Considering the different situation of different planets and also time and circumstances, there is nothing wonderful in the stories of the Puranas, nor are they imaginary. We should always remember the maxim that one man's food is another man's poison. We should not therefore reject the stories and history of the Puranas as imaginary. The great rishis like Vyasa had no business putting some imaginary stories in their literatures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, historical facts selected from the histories of different planets have been depicted. It is therefore accepted by all the spiritual authorities as the Mahapurana. The special significance of these histories that they are all connected with activities of the Lord in a different time and atmosphere. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is the topmost personality of all the self-realized souls, and he accepted this as the subject of studies from his father, Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva is the great authority, and the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam being so important, he delivered the message first to his great son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It is compared to the cream of the milk. Vedic literature is like the milk ocean of knowledge. Cream or butter is the most palatable essence of milk, and so also is Srimad Bhagavatam, for it contains all palatable, instructive, and authentic versions of different activities of the Lord and His devotees. There is no gain, however, in accepting the message of Bhagavatam from the unbelievers, atheists, and professional reciters who make a trade of Bhagavatam for the layman. It was delivered to Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and he had nothing to do with the Bhagavatam business. He did not have to maintain family expenses by such trade. Srimad Bhagavatam should therefore be received from the representative of Shukadev, who must be in the renounced order of life without family encumbrance. Milk is undoubtedly very good and nourishing, but when it is touched by the mouth of a snake, it is no longer nourishing, rather it becomes a source of death. Similarly, those who are not strictly in the Vaishnava discipline should not make a business of this Bhagavatam and become a cause of spiritual death for so many hearers. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the purpose of all the Vedas is to know Him, Lord Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Sri Krishna Himself in the form of recorded knowledge. Therefore, it is the cream of the Vedas, and it contains all historical facts of all times in relation with Sri Krishna. It is factually the essence of all histories. In 1977, that would have been probably October 1977, late September or October 1977, I was traveling either in, I can't remember, that would have been somewhere, Maharashtra, MP, UP. We traveled in those areas. I was traveling in those areas on the BBT library party, which was distributing sets of Srila Prabhupada's books, mostly in colleges, for college libraries. I was just with that party for a short time. I was a junior member of the party. The Yajna Prabhu was in charge of the party. Mahaman Prabhu was also on the party. And one time we went to visit, I believe it was a professor. Mostly the professors would make the orders on behalf of their colleges. And usually we went individually. All day we'd be out in a particular city individually meeting different officials. And for some reason or other, we went to this person all together and presented, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's translation. And this particular professor was very offensive, and he started laughing in a mocking way and said, "Ah, I'm not interested in this. This is just stories." Of course, it might have been that he was doing that to test us. That's also possible. And I thought to rebut him, but in deference to the more senior members of the party, I didn't. I think. But Yajna Prabhu, who was the leader of the party, said, "All right, let's just go and leave here." Actually, I should have probably said something. Probably at that time, I didn't have the Shastric knowledge by which to do so. But after all these years, I can, of course, that professor is maybe not even alive now. Or if he's alive, he would be quite old. But it's something that we may run into. We may run into such people, or we may read things like that. So let's discuss this. This particular point, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is just stories, I chose to speak particularly on this purport because Srila Prabhupada mentions that very objection and answers it within this purport. They say that the histories mentioned in the scriptures are calculated by them to be only imaginary stories. One reason they say for that is that, well, the Bhagavatam talks about histories of the way, way back in the past, but according to them, there wasn't anything so far in the past. Or if there was anything, it was just some gases which were waiting to coagulate and form into planets and later on human beings. Or that even if they were human beings, they weren't civilized, because civilization really began with the Greeks in Europe. Of course, civilization means European civilization especially. Real civilization began with the English language. Well, Latin was a good, Latin and Greek were good starts. They don't say things like that, but it's implied in their way of thinking. First of all, I just like to read from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. I don't know this thinking. If the fly harasses, I'll let you know. From Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhagavat jainamane se javansham tar shashta ache janme janme prabhu jam. This is Bengali, and I'll give the translation. I'll give my translation. Anyone who doesn't respect the Srimad Bhagavatam is just like a javan. Javan means extremely low person. Yavana, extremely low class person. And such a person is punished life after life by Yamaraj. The purport or the commentary of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is as follows in English translation. In the Bhagavat Mahatmya of the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, chapter 63, it is stated, the topics of the Supreme Lord are realized by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. One can understand the purport of the Vedas from every line of every shloka. There are many other similar statements in the various Vaishnava Puranas. End of the quote. And continuing the original commentary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But rather he's quoting from different scriptures. The result of disregarding Srimad Bhagavatam is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas as follows. In this age of Kali, one who considers Srimad Bhagavatam more dear than his own life will never suffer the punishment of Yamaraj even for 100 kalpas. Also in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is stated, the wretched person who does not appreciate the study of Srimad Bhagavatam and who hinders others in its study causes 100 generations of family members to go to hell. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, chapter 63, it is stated, one continues to wander in the cycle of birth and death as long as he does not for even a moment hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was recited by Shukadeva Goswami. A person who does not hear anything from the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout his entire life is no better than a chandala or, alternatively, an ass. The result of his birth was only his mother's delivery pains. Indra, the king of the demigods in heaven, declares that the sinful man who never hears the topics of Bhagavatam is simply a burden to the earth, and although living, he is actually dead. So, if that professor has gone to another destination, we can presume it's not a very good one. another point about stories, they say it's only stories because it pertains to a time when we now know by our scientific knowledge that there was no intelligent life. Another reason is because they find the stories to be fantastic. For instance, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport here the ocean of milk, referring to the word saram, cream, used in this verse. Atheistic people don't believe in oceans of milk, or people who don't have faith in the Puranic descriptions. They don't have faith in the avatars of the Lord, that the Lord appears with four hands or eight arms, that he appears in the form of a hog. Ganesh is often cited by Christians and Muslims to say, just see how ridiculous your Vedic literature is. But as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, there are different planets with different atmospheres, and we can't judge all of reality by our frog in the well experience within this planet. I'm paraphrasing Srila Prabhupada here. This professor might have been an Arya Samaji who only believes in the Vedas, the original Vedas, or he might have been an impersonalist, some of whom they give very little, they give only secondary importance to the Puranas because they think, well, the philosophy of Vedanta, that's the real thing. In the Upanishads, there's all so much philosophy. And they think of the Puranas as, they're okay, but not, that's for less intelligent people. They may think like that. Of course, there are stories in the Vedas and the Upanishads also. They are, well, they're mostly settings for demonstrating philosophical truths. The story of Nachiketa. The whole King Upanishad is that of the blowing of the so-called yaksha. Which, anyway, there are plenty of stories, so I'm not exactly Vedanta Sutras, the Vedanta Sutras, they give the philosophical essence of the Upanishads. So there are no stories, although they allude to various stories therein. And those who discuss the Upanishads, they don't generally discuss in terms of the stories, but of the philosophy within. Regarding stories, Shukadev Goswami himself states in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, the last canto, what he summarizing what he's told, Parikshit, that much of the Bhagavatam is discussion of various dynasties of great kings. He says, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. So what is the ultimate aspect of knowledge? Krishna's pastimes. Well, that's stories also. Well, the ultimate aspect of knowledge is to understand Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form of Godhead. But then that naturally culminates in his pastimes. So it's not knowledge in the sense it's generally understood. Tattva jnana. Tattva jnana means knowledge of the philosophical categories that constitute reality. So one may also have knowledge of stories. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport to the verse that we read today, this Sarvaveda Itihasanam verse, he cautions us against hearing from professional Bhagavad speakers, and they mostly speak in detail stories of Leela, but they don't give the philosophy. So Bhagavatam is not only stories, it's the essence is the 10th canto description of the pastimes of Krishna. But it's not that it's without philosophical understanding. And in fact, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam is to, from our platform, from our materially conditioned platform, it's to be understood in terms of the philosophy that's presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. And for those who are on the fully realized platform, for them, philosophy is no longer important, and discussion of philosophy is no longer relevant and may actually be a hindrance in their relish or serving Krishna in terms of pure love. And in fact, the gopis say that to Krishna when he instructs them in knowledge of jnana yoga. And he says, why are you telling this to us first? So, but this is a very, very a high realization, Shukdev Goswami, who himself transcended the platform of impersonal knowledge and realization and came to the platform of the greatest Rasik Bhakta. In this verse, he's described as Tad. Actually, it's described, it's translated here as that. It should actually be he. It refers to Vyasadeva. Let's see. Sutam means, in this context, Shukdev Goswami. Atmavatam, Varam. Varam, the best of Atmavatam, of the self-realized. So he's described here as being the best of the self-realized. And as the best of the self-realized, he is Rasik Bhakta, one who's relishing the mellows. But still, he spoke this. Krishna himself is the top, he's Rasik Shekhar. He's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as the topmost relisher of spiritual mellows. And he also speaks Bhagavad Gita. He speaks to Uddhava similarly. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is stories. This Uddhava Gita is there also. There's so much philosophical discussion in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Bhagavatam is the, we just said, Rasik Shekhar. Shekhar means the topmost pinnacle, like the top of a mountain. Kuta, that word comes in Bhagavad Gita, the peak. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all revealed scriptures. As is stated in the Bhagavatam itself, in the very beginning, Vaidaishya Sarva, no, that's in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vaidaishya Sarvairahameva Vedaha. In all the Vedas, I am the object of knowledge. So Srimad Bhagavatam concentrates on the topic of Krishna. So it is the topmost knowledge in all the Vedas. Then again, there is the Vedam Vastava Matra Vastu. The actual topic of knowledge in all the Vedas is this, the Srimad Bhagavatam states. And what is that? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadya Sayataha. The first verse of Bhagavatam describes Krishna and Pati as the Supreme Lord. And the third verse advises us to relish the sweet topics, the Bhagavata Ras, which are profusely described, flowing within Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, the idea is that this stories, is they're just stories. The idea, we're interested in philosophy, particularly Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra. This very topic is addressed in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with impersonalists, who typically impersonalists will bring this kind of objection, that we are interested in the philosophy of the Vedanta Sutras, not in the stories of the Puranas. So, we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the version of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chari Bedu Parnishade Jato Kichu Hoy, Tar Artha Loya Byas Kari Lashan Choi, Jai Sutre Jai Rig Bishoy Bachan Bhagavate Shai Rig Shloki Nibandhan, Ataiv Brahma Sutre Bhasha Sri Bhagavat, Bhagavata Shlok Upanishad Kahe Egmat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's version, that whatever is described in the four Vedas and the Upanishads, Vyasadeva took the meaning of all of that and collected it all in the Brahma Sutras, in the form of sutras. Sutra means essential form, without elaboration, just the then he compiled, so therefore the whole essence of all the Vedas is in the Vedanta Sutras, but it's in compact form. And Vyasadeva again took that and expanded that into the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, the Bhagavatam should be understood as the commentary on the Brahma Sutras, or Vedanta Sutras, and all the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have the same message as that of the Upanishads. It should be understood in this way. It's a different mode of presentation. Even the language, the form of Sanskrit may appear to be quite different, but it's the same author with the same purpose and the same message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Jai Sutra Karta Se Jodi Koriye Bekhan, Tobe Sutrer Mul Arta Loker Hoy Gyan. So the person, what he's saying, is that the person who compiled the Vedanta Sutras, if that very person explains them, then we can understand the basic, then people can understand the basic essence of what he intended to say. It's an obvious point, isn't it? The Vedanta Sutras are, for most people, not very easy to understand. So if someone says something that's difficult to understand, different people may ask him, what do you mean? Different people may speculate on that and think, well, what did he actually mean to say? And different people may give different opinions. But if the person who himself made that statement is asked, and if he explains, then you can understand very clearly what he meant to say. So that's the point, that Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutras. Different people have given their explanation of what he meant. But if we ask Vyas, then Vyas gives the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the answer. Atev Bhagavat Korahobicha Yaha Hoite Pabe Sutra Shutya Artha Sa. Therefore, one should study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And from this, by doing so, one will understand the actual meaning of the Brahma Sutras, and therefore of all the Shrutis, of all the Vedas. Because Sarvaveda Itihasanam Saram Saram Adharitam, the Bhagavatam presents the cream of the cream of all the Vedas and the histories, all the corollary literatures associated with the Vedas. The essence of the essence is extract. The Bhagavatam is the essence of the essence of all the Vedas, because the Vedanta is the essence of all the Vedas. And that is compiled in the Vedanta Sutras, the meaning is given. And then Bhagavatam is the essence of the essence. It's the essence of the version given in the Upanishads. So, mostly the people who say, well, Bhagavatam, it's all stories, Puranas stories. That's for people on the, okay, that's for people on the lower level. We're on the higher level of Gyan, they will say. And think that, well, we're studying Shankaracharya's Sharirika Bhasha. We're on the highest level of understanding. But if we disregard the Bhagavatam and instead we think, well, we'll just study what Shankaracharya said. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had something to say about that also. He said, Jibe nishta lagi sutra koilo byast. Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutras for the sake of uplifting the jivas by giving them the knowledge, but Mayavadi Bhasha Shunle Hoi Sarvanash. But if we hear the Mayavadi interpretation of that, then we're completely spoiled, because it doesn't give the proper explanation. It gives actually completely the wrong meaning and misguides us. Whereas the Bhagavatam reveals the inner meaning of Vedanta, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, just in the end, toward the end, in the 12th canto. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syadrati Kvachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedanta, all the teachings of the Vedanta. And one who becomes satisfied by tasting the rasamrita, the nectarian mellows expounded therein, then he'll never have a taste for anything else. He'll never be attracted to anything else. So Bhagavatam is described here in this verse which we've been reading today as the saram saram, the cream of the cream, creme de la creme of the Vedic literatures. It means it's a metaphorical way of speaking, which means that it's the essence of the essence. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this more from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shobe purushartha bhakti bhagavate hoy. Prema rupa bhagavat chari vede koi. Srimad Bhagavatam reveals that all the purusharthas, now among Vedic philosophers these terms are well known, but we have to explain them to, I myself had it explained to me by Srila Prabhupada, and we have to explain that to others. Generally, the four goals of human life as described in the Shastras are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But the Bhagavatam tells us that the Bhagavatam directs that all our activities of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, they should all be directed to bhakti, Krishna bhakti. Therefore, the four Vedas, it's the message of the four Vedas. And what is that? Bhakti. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the very form of pure love of God. Prema Rup. Bhagavatam is Prema Rup. It's the very form of pure love of Krishna. Chari Veda Dadhi Bhagavat Makilen Shuka Kaileno Purikir. The four Vedas, they're like yogurt. So if you churn yogurt, you get the essence, you get the butter out. So Shukdev Goswami, he churned the four Vedas and took out the essence and gave that, the butter to Parikshit. So it's figurative language. Again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Tulla, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again speaking, Krishna Tulla Bhagavat, Bibhu Sarvashrai, Prati Shloke Prati Akkare, Nana Artha Khoi. The Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. He's as powerful as Krishna. He can give full shelter to everyone just like Krishna. And in every verse, in every syllable, there are so many meanings. Just as Krishna is unlimited, Bhagavata is unlimited. Again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, stated again in the 12th canto, Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali Yuga, yet other literatures do not constantly glorify him. But that supreme personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described through the various narrations of this Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna is described throughout the Bhagavatam. When people say, oh, Bhagavatam, just stories, what they're actually doing is expressing their envy of Krishna, that Krishna has such pleasing pastimes, he's the Supreme Lord, and they're just some insignificant professor or whatever, subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease. They're not Krishna. That's the problem that they have with Krishna is that he's God, and they're not, and they want to be God, and they're fools, and rascals, and demons. But they don't want to admit that, and therefore, instead of blaming themselves for their own inadequacy, they blame the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they blame Krishna. Oh, just stories, 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 just stories. We're interested in philosophy. Well, they also have their story. It's called Janma Mrityu Jaravyadhi story. Episode number 1 or 10 to the power of infinity. Now for the next episode. What's he going to be in his next life? It's a cat! Okay, gambling. What's his next life? It's a dog! And what's the next life? It's a chandala! And what's the next life? And it goes on and on and on. Then finally he gets a form of life in which he can even consider these things. And he comes up and says, Bhagavatam is just stories. Okay, back again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jartare shayanam. Again and again getting born, again and again dying. Ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mang nevartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Because of their lack of faith in Krishna, they don't attain Krishna, they have to be born again and again. No doubt, quite likely that professor who we met who said Bhagavatam is just stories was very learned. If he's a professor, he must be learned. And maybe he was learned in Shastra also, as well as all his speculative stuff that they teach you in the Bhagavatam. But for all his learning, he wasn't a devotee of Krishna, and his learning just served as a heavy weight to drag him down. So we should understand, although the Bhagavatam is full of stories, they're not just some stories. It's not like Enid Blyton stories. Enid Blyton's edited out of existence now because she was a racist. But when I was child, we used to read Enid Blyton stories. Then it was decided that they're not very good because they inculcated racism. So she got edited out of existence. But they're a very famous storyteller in the Western world. I don't remember her name. It's another woman. She made these stories about Harry Potter and became very immensely popular. But it's just stories. It's just imagination, that's all. But Krishna Leela, that is reality. And to understand how and why it's reality, stay tuned in. Every day Bhagavatam class. Every day we discuss these topics. So we can understand this is reality. Otherwise the material world seems like it's real. And is real in one sense, but not in the fuller sense. So if we don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we hear topics of Maya. Then we're in Maya. And then instead of being in Krishna's Leela, we're in a different story. It's a horror story. It's called Living in the Material World. And it's the only problem with this horror story that with a horror movie, you go and watch it, then it's over. And you come out. Phew. But with this horror movie, we're all participants and we're in it and there's no getting out. It's not just it's just like someone, they get invited to act in a movie, and they say, well, in this movie, we're going to tie you up, and we're going to cut your body to pieces. And then they actually start cutting them to pieces. There are movies like that. They're not legal. They're illegal movies. They tell the person that we're just going to tie you up for this movie. And then they literally cut them to pieces and film it and kill them in that way. Well, and some then they sell the movie. They used to be called flick movies. They became quite sensational at one time when there were clubs in America who said the government wanted to ban it. He said, you can't ban it. It's art. It's a form of art expression. So it was murder on screen, and they were called flick movies. So we're all in a horror story, but Krishna invites us to join his story, sweet bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's invitation to join him in his pastimes, not just stories. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yes, please.
You know, sometimes to introduce children to Bhagavatam, they just spin stories and...
Sometimes to introduce children to Bhagavatam, they, whoever they may be, just give stories. That may induce Lokik Shraddha. Or just popular faith or superficial faith. Shastriya Shraddha is required. Shraddha, faith based on knowledge in scriptures. But there's no reason why you can't give children philosophy, and you can say right from the very beginning, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He lives in everyone's heart, and he also comes to this planet every 5,000 years. You can tell every day of Brahma. You can tell children these things. May not get into it very deeply. Most people are like children even when they grow up. They're not interested in philosophy in the modern age. Actually, from the beginning, if they're trained in philosophy, then they'll pick it up much better. The thing is that in the very beginning, children are trained with just cartoons and no philosophy. If they can be taught, you see, people send their kids at the age of 3 or something to they start educating them. So, in material subjects, so why not in spiritual subjects also? It wasn't just by accident that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur he memorized all the verses of Gita by the age of 7 and could explain them. It wasn't just that he woke up one day and was able to do that. His father trained him. So, trained from the beginning. Prahlad Maharaj, he was, even today we recite his prayers, which are full of philosophical understanding, which he learned within the womb. Prahlad is exceptional, but as Srila Prabhupada told us, we should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad. Yeah, anything else? Krishna Bhakti is the goal of all sampradayas. Well, Shankara Sampradaya, that's not their goal. Within the Vaishnava Sampradayas, some of them would disagree with that. They'd say Vishnu Bhakti. And in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they define the word bhakti differently. So they would say our goal is Sharana Prapatti, they say. Surrender. And they think bhakti is something on the way to surrender even the word we translate sharanagati or prapatti as surrender, but it's all these subtle connotations in all these words. Prapatti means offering yourself. It's more like atmanivedanam. Our acharyas who have commented on this, I believe, although I haven't researched it, so don't quote me on this as being authoritative, but I believe this begins with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He states that the goal of all the sampradayas is the same, but there are some subtle differences, but he doesn't emphasize the differences between the sampradayas. He says, anyway, it's all for the same thing. Whereas the Madhvas, they very much emphasize the difference between themselves and the Sri Vaishnavas. They reject Sri Vaishnava philosophy as being bogus, actually. They don't appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, Vallabhacharya is completely based on Bhagavatam. Madhvacharya wrote his Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnay. Ramanuja is, as far as we know, he didn't quote Srimad Bhagavatam. But then, as it's also pointed out, he didn't quote the Alvas also. So that doesn't mean that it's outside the scope of his understanding. He mostly wrote on the Vedas and the Upanishads. His philosophical treatises were mostly aimed at defeating Shankara's philosophy. And Shankara didn't comment on the Bhagavatam. So he presented his philosophy in terms of largely in terms of the Vedas and the Upanishads, particularly the Upanishads. That's as far as I understand about this. It could be researched more. I haven't gone into it in depth. Everything can be gone into in more depth. Later acharyas in the sampradaya. They took it up. Vira Raghav? He's Sri Vaishnava? Is it? He has a commentary. It's a few notes here and there, it seems to be. His Ramayana commentary is more famous. Of course, Sri Vaishnavas, they get into Ramayana very much. And Madhva Sampradaya, like I say, Madhvacharya himself commented on Bhagavatam. Yeah, yeah.
As you said, even Ramanuja has not touched the spirit of Alvas. As you said, his main aim seems to defeat this Mayavad and all this kind of thing.
He took the same basis for explaining his philosophy as Ramanuja did. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the first one to give so much importance to the Bhagavatam. He gives so much importance. Others, they all based their philosophy on they were considered to be bona fide sampradayas because they gave their philosophy, their philosophical statement of their philosophy is their Vedanta Sutra commentary. That is the statement of their philosophy, which it's their Vedanta Sutra commentary. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers didn't do that. And then the philosophical basis of our sampradaya became the Shat Chandarbha of Jiva Goswami, which is all, first of all, he explains why he takes the Bhagavatam as the basis instead of the Vedanta Sutras as the basis. Well, he doesn't elaborate on why he's not touching the, or he's not making the Vedanta Sutras, but he explains why he makes the Bhagavatam the basis. And then the whole of Shat Chandarbhas are based on Bhagavatam. They take quotes from elsewhere also, but largely from Bhagavatam. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada also said we're interested in the Bhagavata. Yeah, the philosophy, not the stories per se. But that statement should be understood contextually also. That we're not interested in stories for the sake of stories, but the understanding behind them. At our level, we should try to understand philosophy. Not only the philosophy behind it, but the philosophy that in front of it is completely intertwined. Yeah, we say the philosophy behind the stories, but actually in Bhagavatam the philosophy comes before the stories. The stories of Bhagavatam begin in the fourth verse, which gives the setting of the fourth verse of the first chapter of the first canto, which describes how the Bhagavatam came to be spoken at Naimisharanya. Naimishayana Mishakshetraya, etc. So, but before that, there are three verses which give the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, philosophy. What is that? Naimishayana Mishakshetraya. Rishaya Sonakada. So, we say that the philosophy behind the stories, but in Bhagavatam the philosophy becomes in front of the stories also. And completely intertwined with all the narrations. We find even in Krishna Leela, a lot of the time there are philosophical, Krishna himself starts speaking some philosophy. Many times there are prayers by Akrura, prayers by Shukadev, prayers by Brahma, prayers by Masala. The heaviest philosophical portion of the Vedas is probably in the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas. Yeah, the prayers of the Vedas, and Shukdev himself gives some comment, even in the middle of the Leela, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa, rajokasam, yanmitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. He says, wow, amazing. How fortunate are Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, because the supreme, eternal, complete truth, bliss, full of bliss, is there living with them just like an ordinary friend. So it's a philosophical statement. It's not that Krishna Leela, it's all just bliss and no one has any brain. Everyone just stopped thinking and they're just enjoying. But that's one kind of enjoyment also, to reflect on your enjoyment, to consider your enjoyment. So Shukadev, he was considering how fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan. He was considering. Philosophically, repeatedly Shukadev makes such statements that Srila Prabhupada often quoted that Krita Punya Punjaha, the cowherd boys, they had the opportunity to play with Krishna, dance with him, and they would run in the forest imitating peacocks and making noises to frighten the monkey babies and going on like that. And how did they get this opportunity? Only after performing millions of lifetimes of pious activities could they get such an opportunity. So it's always the, just sometimes to step back from the Leela and reflect, how amazing this all is. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai.